Peace be with you. Welcome to Peninsula United Church. I'm Greg Glatz, the coordinating minister. I've been away for a while, and it's good to be back. Glad to see there's still people here. That's really a relief. I knew there would be. Whether you're here in person this morning or watching online, we are glad you are part of this faith community. Today is the first of four Sundays in the season of creation. And the season of creation is our opportunity to celebrate creation and commit ourselves to stewarding well the earth and the fragile web of life that we share. The theme chosen for the season of creation this year is peace with creation, based on Isaiah 32, verses 14 to 18. And Peter Jones will be offering a reflection on this scripture passage later in today's service. We acknowledge that we worship this morning and work as a faith community every day of the week on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Semiamu and Coast Salish peoples. We acknowledge that there were people here before us who are still here, who will always be here, for whom this place is home. Well, let us stand as we are able and sing this morning, All Creatures of Our God and King. Have a seat. Peninsula United Church is an affirming ministry. We publicly, intentionally, and explicitly affirm people of every sexual orientation and gender identity. And we likewise affirm people of every age, ability, ethnicity, and economic circumstance. We are committed to being a community where all can find and be found by God through faith, engagement, and service. As part of being an affirming community, we encourage you to make connections today. Stay after the service if you can. We keep gathering to get to know each other better, and we'd love to get to know you better. Ask questions if you have them. ask anybody or ask somebody that looks like they know what they are talking about, and just offer your own opinions, thoughts, and reflections on what you've experienced here this morning to somebody else. This is how we become a community that affirms every person here. I just wanted to let you know that on Tuesday, we send out a Second Glance newsletter with a YouTube link to this service and a series of postscript reflection questions and prayer prompts that take you deeper into today's reflection. And we also have a newsletter that comes out on Friday. It's kind of our main newsletter that lets you know what's coming up the next Sunday. You can subscribe to those newsletters and find out much more about Peninsula United Church and its affirming identity at peninsulaunited.com. Well, just before we sing the prayer of St. Francis this morning, we light the Christ candle with a brand new electronic candle lighter, which really does the job. Wow, that's a major upgrade. Let these words from the lectionary inspire us. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law of the Lord they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper.
Stand as we sing this prayer together. Please be seated.
Good morning. The reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 14 to 18. For the palace will be forsaken, the populous city deserted. The hill and the watchtower will become dens forever. The joy of wild asses, a pasture for flocks. Until a spirit from on high is poured out on us, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is deemed a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. The effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness, and trust forever. My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Good morning. For those folks I haven't met, my name's Peter Jones, and I'm a member of this congregation. And thanks to Greg for trusting me with this moment and inviting me to share some thoughts on the theme, Peace with Creation. You know, as you might know, my background's in forestry and earth sciences, and I confess that I find our universe fills me with awe and gratitude. But before I begin, please pray with me. O gracious God, our creator and sustainer, we praise your name and give thanks for this time together this morning. I pray that the words of my lips and the meditations of my soul are pleasing and faithful in your sight. Amen. For, you know, Greg made a good introduction about the season of creation, and I just want to frame this a little bit as to why this scripture today. From September 1st to the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi on October the 4th is the season of creation. And it's a time for Christians to celebrate our common home through prayer and action. It was in 1989 that the Eastern Orthodox Church established September 1st as a World Day of Prayer for Creation, and shortly after, Pope Francis encouraged everyone to make it part of their liturgical calendar. There's a committee made up of church leaders from the World Council of Churches, the Vatican, Eastern Orthodox Churches, an international alliance of evangelical churches, and they're the ones that chose the theme for this year, Peace with Creation. And they've got a website, and there's lots of worship resources and, you know, suggested things one can do. However, I think jumping into actions risks missing the main message in today's reading, that transformation comes from the Holy Spirit. I'd first like to look at Isaiah and then offer some personal reflections on how I find peace with creation. The four verses that Barb read from chapter 32 is one of the 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, and I think they lose their punch without a little bit of context. You know, Isaiah was one of the major prophets in the Old Testament, along with Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And he lived in about 8th century BC. And although the book of Isaiah is lengthy and it appears to have contributions from different authors and is full of historical references, the reoccurring themes are of judgment for breaking God's covenant and the promise of a time when justice and righteousness will reign. And chapter 32 is a section that's primarily concerned with prophecies of a Messiah, a time when a spirit is poured down from on high on us. So as Barb read in verse 14, the prophet is portraying a desolate creation, devastated cities, wastelands, overtaken by animals due to injustice and the broken relationship between God and humankind. In verse 15, he writes that this estrangement from God will persist until a spirit on high is poured out on us. And then the wilderness becomes a fruitful field and the field deemed a forest. You know, for me, that's a really important connection, that verse in particular, because it speaks to an interrelatedness between the field, a place of sustenance, and the wilderness. And the way to see that connection is through the Spirit. The interconnectedness of creation that we can see through the help of the Spirit. And then justice will dwell in the wilderness. And righteousness abide in the fruitful field. And if you're like me, you're kind of, yeah, it's easier to use that word justice than righteousness for some reason. I mean, justice, you know, in its sort of crudest form is retribution, eye for an eye. But fortunately, it's evolved to be something more restorative, reform, reparation, reconciliation. But righteousness is a tricky word, even though it's, you know, it's, you find it in all of the world's religions. In its oldest meaning, I would suggest it's about being morally right and justified by divine law. And maybe that's why we kind of don't feel comfortable in using it. But I believe that Jesus called us to do something more. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus teaches us that righteousness is about right relationship with God, with one another, and creation. And for me, it's echoes of Micah 6:8, which you probably know. If not, look it up. And the effect of righteousness will be peace. Not necessarily rest, but trust forever. But what do Isaiah's prophecies about Judah say to us today? After all, I mean, Isaiah's world was different, right? This is the 8th century BC. I mean, the world was flat, the sun moved across the sky, and the known world was the Middle East. Margaret, can you show us the next slide, please? Our worldview looks a little more like that. You know, on Christmas Eve in 1968, the astronauts on the Apollo 8 mission that were going around the moon took this picture of Earth. And apparently they used Kodak ektachrome film. You remember that stuff? And it was before Adobe had invented Photoshop, thankfully. So that's our home. That's a very different worldview from Isaiah. But, you know, for me, for the wisdom of the book of Isaiah speaks directly about our times. When I look at physical constants and truths about our universe, gravity, light energy, atoms, chemical bonds. For me, Isaiah's prophecy until a spirit from on high is poured out on us, is central to the transformation that's waiting for us to be discovered. When I contemplate, I meditate, I pray about the physical elements of creation, I feel humbled, reassured, renewed, and I feel a restless sense of peace. I'd like to share some thoughts on three miracles that make me feel peace with creation. Our atmosphere, carbon cycle, and our bodies. And could we have the next slide, Margaret? So we take a little closer look. This is from the Apollo 17 mission on December 7th, 1972. It's called the Blue Marble. It's a photograph that probably more than any other photograph in the world has been reproduced most often. And the first thing that I find quite amazing is that our atmosphere is thinner than the skin of an apple. You know, it's a mixture of gases held close to the Earth by gravity that forms a protective bubble for life. It provides the air we breathe, it shields us from harmful radiation, and it traps heat that warms the planet. It continuously redistributes heat and water, our weather, in predictable patterns, which is our climate. And almost all of this occurs in the troposphere, which is the layer closest to the ground, which contains 75% of all the gases and 99% of the water in the air. And the troposphere here in Vancouver is about 9 kilometers up, which is a heck of a long way if you have to climb Jacob's Ladder, or planning to. But if you compare it to the circumference of the Earth, it's thinner than the skin of an apple. It's amazing. The second thing that I often think about is carbon, and it's kind of a dirty word, excuse the pun, but it actually is the secret ingredient of life. You know, here in Vancouver, it rains a lot, and we're pretty familiar with the water cycle, right? But it's, in my opinion, it's really the carbon cycle that's essential for us being here today. You know, carbon's very abundant in the universe, and on Earth, with the help of water, it cycles between rocks, the ocean, our atmosphere, and between plants and animals. And this carbon is the secret ingredient of photosynthesis. You might remember that word from school, right? But if you think about it, it's quite amazing that it's the chemical reaction that supports all life on Earth. It is how plants convert light energy into chemical energy. I mean, carbohydrates are simple sugars. They're full of carbon atoms. Animals eat plants. We eat carbon. We're full of carbon. And that's the third thing that kind of gets to me is our bodies. And you know that old adage about you are what you eat? Well, I think it is true. Our bodies are made up of about 30 trillion cells, they say, and most of these are replaced every 7 to 10 years. Think about that. You are a collection of cells that are made new inside and out every 7 to 10 years. It's not quite as simple as that. There are some cells that don't replicate, like the nerve cells in our spine, or some that are really hard to change, like our muscle cells in our heart. Only about 40% of those get changed renewed in our lifetime. But most cells in our body, like the ones that make up our blood, our skin, our digestive tract, our internal organs, they're constantly being replaced. So while we sit here this morning, amazing chemical reactions are occurring in all of our bodies, converting carbohydrates into new cells with the help of oxygen from our shared atmosphere. You know, it's really easy to forget about that, these fundamental connections that we all have as we go about our everyday lives, how we're part of creation, and really how truly miraculous it is. But when I reflect on them, I'm filled with awe and gratitude. And I think it's this feeling that makes the wilderness become a fruitful field and a fruitful field a forest. You know, Isaiah didn't know anything about the carbon cycle, right? Or even whether the earth was round. But he knew something about being transformed by the Holy Spirit. And only then will righteousness abide, and we will experience trust forever. He wrote that only justice and righteousness can heal the land and replace bloodshed, oppression, and hatred. That we need to realign with the truth of our existence, that we are all connected and part of God's creation. For me, these scripture verses can be summed up in something about, or it's something that Albert Einstein said about miracles. He said, "There are only two ways to live our life. One is though nothing is a miracle. The other is though everything is a miracle." I choose the latter every day, at every sunrise, at every sunset. Everything is holy now. Amen. Thank you.
like I'm swimming in a sea of air. It used to be a world half there. Heaven second rate hand me down, but I walk it with a reverent air. 'Cause everything is holy now.
This is the table of Jesus Christ, and Jesus welcomes everyone to this table. People of every sexual orientation, people of every gender identity, age, race, ability, religious background, ethnic background, economic circumstance, and immigration status are welcome at this table. The most provocative and prophetic act that Jesus repeated again and again was to eat with sinners. And if Jesus ate with the riffraff, the outcasts, and the untouchables, then I think Jesus will eat with all of us this morning. May God be with us.
God is here among us.
Let us open our hearts to God.
We open them to God and to one another.
Let us give thanks. Blessed are you, O God, creator of heaven and earth, redeemer of the world, sanctifier of the faithful. From the dust of the earth you created us in your image. From our slavery to sin you deliver us. Through our wilderness wanderings you guide us. You call us to renewal and repentance, to justice and compassion, to healing and wholeness. In Jesus we discover the way, the truth, and the life that is Christ within us. And so in Christ, who makes all things new by the power of his resurrection, we join in the song of a new day to sing your praise.
Santo, 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 es el Señor, Dios del universo, llenos están el cielo y la tierra.
We do what Jesus did the night before he died. He took bread and gave thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, remember me." Then he took the cup and said, "Take and drink and remember." We remember what Jesus said the night before he died. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So let our practice of this new commandment testify to the mystery of faith, which is Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Holy God, send the Holy Spirit upon us and these gifts, that all who share in the bread and cup may be the body of Christ, light, life, and love in the world. God of the land, the sea, and the sky, creator of all that is seen and unseen, open our hearts to the rhythm of creation in the swells of the ocean, the movements of air and wind, and the breath of all living things. Open our eyes to the fragile beauty of the biodiversity of which we are just one part. Open our ears to the sounds of life around us. Open our minds to the awareness of our deep relationship with all of your creation. May a spirit from on high be poured out on us so that justice may dwell in the wilderness and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. We pray for all who are in sorrow or pain. We pray for all who are ill or alone. We pray for all who live with fear, oppression, or hunger. We pray for all who the world counts as last and least. We pray for the nations as they strive for peace and justice. We pray for the earth and the fragile web of life we share. And we pray for our families and our friends, especially those on our hearts and minds at this moment. So let us conclude our thanksgiving with these words. Praise be to God, love divine. Praise be to Christ, love incarnate. Praise be to the Spirit, love received. And let the people say,
Amen.
We are going to sing the Lord's Prayer together at this time. Just a few moments, the servers will distribute communion, and we'll ask you to make your way to the front or to the back, whichever is closest. The ushers will guide you by the center aisle. You'll take communion, and then you will return by the side aisles, and everything will be lovely in terms of traffic flow at that point. When you come to the service, you can servers, you can open your hands to receive the gluten-free bread, and the server will say to you the bread of life and put a piece of bread in your hands. And then you can move over to the cup. The cup cup server will say the cup of blessing, and you can take a cup. Take that piece of bread and that cup down the side aisle, return to your pew, and once everybody's been served, then we will eat and drink together. Servers, come on forward at this time. For a set of tongs so I don't take my fingers and hand you bread. I'm going to improvise. Servers reach their stations. The ushers will invite you to move up or down the center aisle to receive the bread of life and the cup of blessing. May God renew us in our communion together.
Trusting you with my friends. Thank you.
Jesus multiplied. Brother, what's mine is yours. You are not alone. There is no shortage here. The love of Jesus multiplies. The love of Jesus multiplies.
As we eat and drink together, let us remember these are the gifts of God for the people of God. As we close our communion together, I invite us to stand together as we are able and recite the new creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Wow, that was amazing. Good reminder to me, though. The offering is a part of our worship. We don't take a collection during the service, but we still do have an offering. You can place your offering in the little church in the narthex when you come in or leave. If you want to make an offering but don't carry cash, we have a QR code on the screen that'll take you to our giving website where you can do online giving, e-transfer. Tell us about PAR, which is a monthly pre-authorized remittance. There's a lot of different ways you can give financially. All of these options and more are found at PeninsulaUnited.com. We recognize that offerings are made in many ways, not just money. And so for all of you who contribute in so many ways to the life of this faith community, thank you. The offering is one of the ways that we say thanks to God for the life that God has given us and the blessings that we share. And may you be blessed as you say thanks today. Let us pray, and then we'll have the little church come forward and we'll sing together. God, we are grateful for our many blessings. And in this season of creation, we are especially grateful for this planet, the universe, and all living things. May our gratitude be seen in the way that we steward these blessings you have given to us. So God, receive this offering with our thanks for all that we have received from you. As you have blessed us, let us be a blessing for others, bringing the promise of the kingdom near by kind and compassionate words and deeds. In Jesus' name, amen. Some announcements.
Good morning. I'm Beth Henderson, and I'm speaking on behalf of Kathy Booth, who couldn't be here this morning. And I'm talking about the Thanksgiving food drive. Ann Gregoire, who's sitting at the back, she will be sitting at the table in the narthex, handing out these bags toward the end of the service. Please take a bag and bring it back next Sunday, September 11th. The need is increasing every day. Kathy called sources, and they gave her this information. They now serve 900 people a week. That's 300 families. The age breakdown is 0 to 4 years. There's about 60. 5 to 19 years, 400. Seniors, 97. That's every week. People with no fixed address, daily bags, 37. The numbers are increasing, over 100 more people than last year in need every week. They need baby items, formula, diapers, protein sources like tuna fish and beans, boost drinks, toilet paper, soap. People can also donate funds by contacting sources. Their link is online or by phone. Thanks again, and Kathy will pick up these bags next week when she returns. And please see Anne at the back to get your bag. Thank you. I won't take your notes.
All right. I think that's it then. Well, as we close our service this morning, let us stand as we are able, and we will sing "We Cannot Own the Sunlit Sky."
humanity to join as partners in creating a future free from want or fear, life's goodness celebrating. That new world beckons from above, invites a shelter, that all may have abundant hope, and peace endure forever.
Please stay standing for the benediction, and just a reminder, the coffee and snacks are served downstairs right after the service. Hope to see you there. Be blessed in knowing that God, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. Let the evidence of God's power in the creation all around us remind us of this power of God also at work within us. And may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Surround.